We've heard the statement, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And there's certainly a great deal of truth to that statement. Many of us in here have experienced what it's like to have a godly mother and how important that role is. This morning we're going to focus on a couple of different things about mothers. We're going to talk about the influence of a godly mother and the work of a godly mother. And we'll also be looking at three examples from the Bible about what a godly mother is, what they look like. The first one we want to look at this morning when we're talking about influence is a very familiar one found in 2 Timothy. And that, of course, is Timothy's mother and grandmother. And we'll start by looking at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. This verse reads, this is Paul talking to Timothy, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also." The first thing we see from this is that godly mothers can help instill an authentic faith in their children. Faith is not supernaturally given. Faith is not something that's automatically inherited. Faith has to be learned. Faith is a learned thing. It is not something, again, that is automatically given. Just because Lois and Eunice had a genuine, real faith does not mean that Timothy would have one automatically. So godly mothers, like Eunice, can help instill a real, sincere, genuine faith in their children. Mothers need to do this by demonstrating their faith, reading the Bible, worshiping, telling others about Christ. And their children need to see them doing this. Their children need to see their mothers doing these things. Worshiping and praying and singing and reading the Bible and telling others again about Christ. They need to see their mothers involved in those things. No doubt Timothy saw his mother and grandmother worshiping. Of course, they before that time would have been worshiping according to the law of Moses. And then when the new law came about, they would have been worshiping according to the new law. So Timothy would have experienced and saw that in his mother. Mothers need to be more interested in their children's souls than in their clothes. They need to be more concerned about their eternal life than their success in life. They need to be more interested in their relationship with Jesus than their popularity. They need to be more concerned with their standing before God than their social standing. And they need to be more interested in their spirituality than in their intellectual or athletic accomplishments. A godly mother will be more concerned about those things than the things of the world. Why? Because they're a godly mother. That's why. They understand their influence. Remember that little poem I read about example. So Lois and Eunice certainly were both instrumental and helpful in instilling a real, authentic faith in Timothy. We also find out from this example in 2 Timothy chapter 3 something else about Timothy's home life. 2 Timothy 3 verses 14 and 15 says this, "But you must continue in the things which you've learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Here's something else godly mothers can do. They can help instill a respect for Scripture. How important this is. That children grow up with a respect for God's Word. Being divine, being holy, being actually the words of God. Notice what had happened in Timothy's life. His mother had helped instill him within him a respect for God's word. But the next verse says what? All scripture is given by inspiration of God. So godly mothers help their children come to that understanding that this is not just any book. It's God's book. It's God's holy book. It's divine. It came from the mind of God, like 1 Corinthians 2 tells us. It came from His mind. And so these are His words. And notice it says that from childhood, that can also be translated babyhood, because the word includes going all the way back to the time he was a baby. From the time he was a baby, he was taught God's word, the scriptures. And of course, what she was doing was she was fulfilling Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let's go back to Deuteronomy a second. Notice Deuteronomy 6. And we'll begin reading verse 4. This was one of the most famous texts in all the Hebrew Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning in verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. So what Eunice was doing with Timothy was that very thing. She was teaching Timothy, whenever the opportunity arose, God's word, scripture. She wanted him to grow up and have a respect for the Bible. So godly mothers can have a tremendous influence on their children by helping them have a genuine, real, authentic faith, and by instilling them a respect for God's word. So no wonder when we use that saying, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Godly mothers have a tremendous influence on their children. But as mothers know, the work of a godly mother is never ending. Let's go back to Titus chapter 2 for a moment, and we're going to apply this passage, especially certain parts, to mothers. Titus chapter 2, and we'll begin in verse 1. Titus chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Paul writes to Titus, "But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, and in patience, the older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet and chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed." Now let's kind of analyze that and look at what godly mothers, their work is from that. Number one is their speech needs to be what's fitting for sound doctrine. In other words, what comes out of their mouth, verse 1, needs to be fitting. It needs to fit God's word. Verse 10 of that same chapter says this, "Not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things." Godly mothers need to adorn the doctrine of God. How do they do that? Not, this text says, from outward appearances, but from what they do. Their behavior, their attitude, their outlook, their teaching, their speech, all of those things are important. I found this, and I don't know who wrote it because I'm not sure there was a writer put to it, but it says, "The godly mother puts on the lipstick of a kind tongue, puts on the blush of purity and innocence, puts on the foundation of godliness, the eyeliner of compassion, and the mascara of sincerity." That's the type of adorning that a godly mother puts on. She's far more concerned about those things than outward things. And what a wonderful way of describing the godly mother. Notice from our text that the women have an obligation. It says, the older women, oh, how old is older? Oh, that's one of those you don't touch, not even if you had a 10-foot pole. The older women likewise, notice what their behavior is supposed to be like. Reverent. They're not to be slanderers. Have to watch what they say. Not given to much wine. They're to be teachers of good things. Now, what are they supposed to admonish the younger women to do? To love their husbands and to love their children. They're to be taught. People have to be taught to love their husbands, to love their children. That's a learned thing. It's not an automatic thing. It's something that must be learned. And so the older women are to teach the younger women how to be good wives, how to be good mothers. In other words, what it takes to be one, what proper behavior is. And so they teach them by words, they teach them by example. This is what a godly mother looks like. This is what a godly wife looks like. This is how they behave. This is how they talk. This is what they do. This is what they don't do. But it's something that must be taught. They're to teach them to do what? To be discreet. To be chaste. To be homemakers. To be good. To be obedient to their husbands. Now notice, at the end of verse 5, it says that the word of God may not be blasphemed. So when the home is not what it's supposed to be, in other words, according to God's word, then the word is blasphemed. The word of God is dishonored. Going back to the poem again, people watch us. So if they see us not having good homes, not being good husbands, not being good wives, not being good fathers, not being good mothers, what happens? The word of God is blasphemed, it says. The word of God is dishonored. So we do have a very special obligation. Proverbs 31 tells us some additional work that the woman, the godly mother, has. We'll just read a few verses in Proverbs 31. We could read many of them, but for time's sake, we're just going to read a few. Beginning in verse 15 of Proverbs 31. Verse 15 of Proverbs 31. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. Now let's skip down to verse 27. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. We see from this, and again we could go into much more detail, the godly mother and the godly wife is not lazy. She is not lazy. She is a busy person. A very busy person. She's not solely concerned about herself. She's concerned about her husband. She's concerned about her children. But she's also concerned about other people as well, you saw from that reading. She's concerned about many people. She manages the home well. You saw how she was a good manager of the household. She kept it running efficiently. Godly mothers do that. I know that's what my wife does. I don't keep my household running very well. My children would attest to that, but they better not say anything. Godly mothers are good managers of the home. What about some examples of godly mothers? And again, we could read a lot. Moses' mother, Jochebed, Exodus chapter 2. Remember what Pharaoh was doing? Killing babies. What does she do? She protects her infant. Right? She protects Moses. And we know that story. And we don't need to read the story again, but that's what she did. She was protecting him from evil. She was protecting him from evil. Well, godly mothers do that. Godly mothers protect their children. And she entrusted him to God, didn't she? Even more importantly, she entrusted him to God. You might say she gave him to God. Very similar to what Hannah does in 1 Samuel chapter 1. Another example of a godly mother. Let's turn and read a few verses there. 1 Samuel chapter 1, and we'll begin reading verse 11. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 11. This is the vow she makes to God about her son Samuel. Verse 11 says of chapter 1, "Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head." Now we skip down to verse 28. Of course, Samuel is born during this time. Verse 28 says, at the end of the chapter, again, these are her words, or beginning verse 27, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord." So they worship the Lord there. A godly mother gives her children to the Lord. That's what she's concerned about, is that they are raised to love God, to serve God, to worship God. In other words, they are God's, and that's what she wants. She wants her children to be God's children. And that's the most important thing she can want for them. And so Hannah is a great example of that. Then we move to the New Testament, but we're reading there about an Old Testament character. 1 Peter chapter 3, we read about Sarah. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. "Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror." There Sarah is depicted in that case as being a good wife. And as we know, she was a good mother. Those are examples, just a few examples of what godly women, godly mothers are to be like. Obviously, this is really important to God because He's given us so many examples and written so much about the influence of a godly mother, the work of a godly mother, how important they are to society. Can you imagine what our society would be like if there were no godly mothers? We need more. We need many, many, many more godly mothers in our society. But unfortunately, we don't have near what we need. Godly mothers need to be honored. When you go back to Proverbs 31, toward the end of it, it says, in talking about the godly mother, "Her children rise up and call her blessed." Her children rise up. They rise up and honor her. And what a marvelous thing for children to do. I'm glad, I think it was Woodrow Wilson, I don't remember for sure, who made Mother's Day official. But long before him, mothers were being honored. And they need to continue to be honored until the very end of time. And children do need to rise up and honor their godly mothers. Again, let's be thankful for godly mothers. But for someone to be a godly mother, they first have to be a child of God. And by that I mean being born into the family of God, but being immersed for the forgiveness of their sins. Younger women are to be taught by older women about how to be godly mothers. So there's much responsibility and many duties and obligations. But the importance can't be overemphasized. This morning, if there is any desire you have to become a child of God, to ask for prayers, to ask for forgiveness, whatever, we encourage you to come as we stand and sing this next song.